The Ecology Action Center in Normal is planning its fourth household hazardous waste collection event for this fall. Center Director Michael Brown says they have perfected the model of this public-private partnership, stepping into the gap left by the state abandoning its mandate.
We found a system that works, at least for the time being, in the interim until state funding does return to a more reliable cycle where we can count on that again. Our program really wasn't intended to be a permanent replacement for state funding. The state has always had responsibility to help local communities on this, and we do hope that returns at some point. This is working for right now, and we're one of the few communities in the entire state that is still providing this service in the absence of reliable state support for it.
If it is the state's responsibility, what's the trade-off? I mean, why not wait until they do take up what they're supposed to do?
Well, we know that, in the absence of the service, regardless of who's actually paying for it, that the problem is going to continue to grow. And people do dispose of things improperly, throwing hazardous waste in the trash or down the drain if they do not have the proper options. And we know that even with this, even with our every other year locally funded hazardous waste collection events, there's still people that call us we get daily calls about this issue, but there's people calling us, adults who have come home to clean out their parents' homes when they've, moved into a residential, retirement community, or maybe they've passed away and they have all these materials to get rid of on short notice. They can't wait 2 years for our next collection event. They don't have the time or the luxury of driving up to Naperville for one of the permanent facilities. And so we know that people get frustrated by the lack of options. And so still, more often than not, people are probably disposing of things improperly, and that is a risk to our health. That is a risk to our water supplies. It's a risk to our environment, and so there will be ramifications. And so the more that we can increase the availability of proper disposal options, we're going to help safeguard the public health.
What are the signs that the state will or will not take up their mandate in the near future?
So they have resumed scheduling of events. I mean, there was a gap for a while, but, in recent years, they have resumed it. It's not as regular as it used to be. But this spring in particular, while we did not get awarded an event by the only EPA, there was the most events I recall ever being scheduled by the IEPA all at once. I think there was something like 15 to 20 different events scheduled and funded by the Illinois EPA for hazardous waste collection. And so that to me is a sign that, they're trying to catch up. They're trying to help meet the need. We know there was a lot of good provisions in the most recent state budget. I haven't looked closely enough to see, how hazardous waste is funded in that yet, but there's a lot of good environmental provisions, and so I do think the current administration is prioritizing the environment.
So this might be the last one you have to do.
That would be exciting to me, if that's the case. I mean, we still, going forward, would likely, still coordinate this on behalf of the community with the state, as we did in the past when the state, provided the bulk of the funding. We still were the local entity, and so we'll still always play a role. But yes, to not have to go to the community and ask for contributions, to not look to the local governments to help provide, actually the bulk of the cost of the event, that would help everybody and free up resources for other needs in the community.
Let's talk about those costs. You're seeking $35,000 from the community. You have nine different partners, including mm-hmm. the municipalities and a number of businesses mm-hmm. who are contributing either space, as in Rivian's case, mm-hmm. and a facility in which to conduct the collection, or cash. What is the total cost of this beast?
We don't know. We never know until it's all said and done. And so we have learned through this experience that the whole fundraising campaign, which starts several months before the actual event, that proves to be actually an awareness campaign as well. And so in the past, there was limited marketing budget for events right before the event itself. But now that we do this fundraising several months ahead, we are increasing awareness of the need for proper disposal, but also of the upcoming event. And so attendance has increased. It's much higher than it used to be. The volumes of materials continues to increase. And so the costs do go up. And so we're always planning for that bigger and bigger event, and as well want to increase the marketing so that we can get more people there. And so the perfect event is one where, you know, we come in exactly on budget and we don't have any leftovers and where we don't come up short at all.
What have the costs been for the last several?
So we've been ranging about $140,000, $150,000. That usually doesn't include actual EAC staff time. That comes from other funds. And so the majority of that is really just the cost of the contractor, which is, you know, a hazardous waste service that comes with a team of chemists to properly identify, you know, bulk up, prepare for transport, all these, you know, thousands of different materials we're talking about, transport them to facilities for treatment, in some cases recycling, but actually a lot of this can't be recycled. So it's stabilized. Some of it is stored in hazardous waste landfills for perpetuity. And so there's just a tremendous amount of cost right there for that service with that contractor.
So it's worth making the point then that the $35,000 you're asking the public to contribute is less than a quarter of the actual total.
That is correct, yes. It's just really, you know, a very small portion of the true cost of the event.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center in Normal. They're planning household hazardous waste collection for sometime later this year, perhaps September. Is that beginning to be firm?
That's ballpark is what we're looking at. But yes, once we're further along in the fundraising, we'll know for sure and be able to announce a date. And so, yeah, we look forward to being able to, yes, be more firm about that in a couple months here during the summer.
When my in-laws sold off the family farmstead, there was a huge barrel of just motor oil.
Right.
Collected from farm equipment over the years, and just, it's amazing it hadn't rusted out,
sure,
the barrel. How often do you see that sort of quantity come from one source? How often do you see, how many different kinds of things do you see?
Sure. And so things like that, while that's not unheard of, that's not terribly common for somebody to bring in a 55-gallon drum, part of that is actually because of the regulations, and we do have to educate people about this in our marketing, is that farming, if that's actually agricultural, you know, waste from a farming operation, that's considered business waste by law, and we cannot accept that. We are permitted at these events only for taking residentially generated waste. And so that does usually rule out large volumes of chemicals or automotive fluids like that. I mean, smaller volumes, yeah, people have from changing their own oil at home and what have you. And even if there is a large volume, if we can, you know, get some verification this is residential generated, then we will take it. But it's pretty rare anymore that we would see a 55-gallon drum. And so, yes, to the bigger question of, you know, the volumes and types of materials, I mean, it is pretty varied. I mean, we do have a list of what we do and do not accept at these events. There's some limitations. For example, smoke detectors, which people have in their homes. Everybody needs to have those in their homes. Those are actually radioactive. And so we can't take those because that's kind of a special type of waste that most even of the hazardous waste materials handlers do not handle radioactive waste like that. And so that's something, there's actually mailback programs for those that we encourage people to take advantage of. But yeah, so there's limitations what we can take both for safety reasons, but also financial reasons. If we open this up to anything and everything, then that budget would be much, much higher.
What else can't you take? What is something that people should deal with in a different way than this event?
We can't take ammunition. We can't take, actually, latex paint is not hazardous. People always look at this as an opportunity to get rid of old paint, and it is if it's spray paint or if it's oil-based paint or if it's polyurethane or stain or varnish, turpentine. all those except for latex paint, because that's not hazardous. And the thing is, it costs us about the same as the hazardous oil-based paint to get rid of. And so we don't want it. That, again, would greatly inflate the budget. People can dispose of it themselves by drying it out completely and then putting it in the trash. We have a great video on our website that shows you how to do that, a nice effective way of actually pouring it out in thin layers so it dries out completely. So things like that. It's just going to help save everybody money if they do not bring latex paint.
Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center in Normal, planning for a household hazardous waste collection event later in the fall. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.
People can contribute to the effort at hhwmclain.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.